Okay. Hey, everyone. So welcome back to another episode of my podcast. I hope you liked the first one. I'm just going to talk about whatever I feel like talking about. So there will be some episodes that are a bit more funny, and then there will be some episodes that are maybe a little bit more reflective. So just to let you know too, I used to have a podcast. I think most people who are listening to this will know that I used to have a podcast. It was called Girls Getting Deep, and you can find it on Spotify if you want to listen to some old episodes of mine. But basically, I can't record under that same podcast anymore, because when you're like working with an RSS feed, if you like abandon a project, you can't access it again. So I don't know why they do that, but basically I had to start a new podcast in order for me to be podcasting again. So that's why we're here at Reflection Radio. This is an episode that I've thought about making for a long time because, and sorry if you hear horns honking, that's like part of my imperfection journey, is letting horns honk in the background. So this is a topic that I actually get quite a lot of questions about just in my personal life. So I'm really excited to talk today about what it's been like doing a year of EMDR. Actually, I'm like coming up on 2 years, but I feel like it's more catchy to say a year. So my year of EMDR. So I hope you guys sit back and relax, or maybe you're going on a walk, or I don't know, maybe you're pumping at the gym and you're listening to this. But anyway, I just hope that you enjoy. Oh my gosh, I hope that the quality is good. I wish you guys could see like what the setup is for my podcast right now. I think you'd laugh. And I'm not going to describe it because I feel like, I don't know, you just want to make sure that you have the best sound quality possible, and it's like hard in a New York City apartment. So anyway, I started doing EMDR, I guess it must have been, 2023? That's not true. I have been going to therapy regularly on a weekly basis since I was like 19. I've seen a whole host of different kinds of therapists. I've seen talk therapists. I've seen trauma therapists. I've seen female therapists. I've seen male therapists. I've seen young ones. I've seen old ones. And I have been kind of like on my healing journey, obviously, since I was 19. And I was having horrible, horrible mental health issues in college. And I didn't even like know how to talk about my feelings at all. And I started going to therapy, and I experimented with a couple different therapists. And I have done EMDR with a few different therapists in my life. The first time I did it was back when I lived in Boulder with this amazing, amazing therapist. Her name is Jennifer Favell. She radically changed my life, literally like in the blink of an eye. It was really weird. And I can talk about that. I guess I just like dropped a bomb. I had this therapist named Jennifer Favell, and she is the first person who really introduced me to EMDR. She introduced me to a whole host of really incredible techniques like emotional freedom techniques, tapping. And so we did a little bit of EMDR, and I don't know, it's hard for me to say that it was super effective, because I really believe that EMDR is only something that you can undertake when you're spiritually ready. Like, if you try to tackle trauma for the sake of becoming healed before your subconscious is ready, I don't think you're going to be able to access what you're hoping to access. You know, I know a lot of people go to therapy and they're like, I just want to like get to the deep stuff, and I want my therapist to poke and prod and get me to go deeper. But if you're not ready to go deeper, you're never going to get there. Like, it's amazing the defense mechanisms of our psyche. And so I think there were times when I tried to do EMDR probably prematurely, and I didn't really get much out of it. I also did it when I was working with one of my therapists in New York. Her name is Rivka. And we did EMDR a couple times, but it was nothing like I'm doing now. So in the spring of 2023, my life was hell.
Okay, it just was really, really bad. I was in basically like the catalyst for what made me go to EMDR was my health had declined rapidly and significantly as it had done cyclically throughout my life since college. I didn't know at the time that I was dealing with an undiagnosed autoimmune condition, and when my health goes south, it's really, really difficult for me to cope with as a control freak, as a perfectionist, as somebody who has a lot of self-centered fear. And as a woman where the medical system is really like set to be against you. So health issues trigger profound mental distress for me. And I was also in a relationship that was really, really not working for me for multiple reasons, but I was really not doing well, and I started to go to a very dark place that I'd been to before, where I was thinking, like, oh, there's actually, in this life, there are no solutions for me. And I was on a business trip, and I was just in Pennsylvania. I was like the lowest of the low. Oh my God, something has to change because this suffering is intolerable. And so I did what I always do. I worked on finding a therapist the way that I have always done. At the time, I was seeing a therapist, and she was so bad. I mean, I don't even feel like trying to explain to you how bad she was. Let me just give you one example. She told me that if I was ever feeling really depressed or distressed or whatever, that I should get a rubber band and I should snap it against my wrist, which I can understand that she was trying to give me like a grounding technique, but in a lot of contexts, that is like something that you don't say because that's a form of self-harm. So it was just like she was horrible. So I needed to find a new therapist. So what I do always, this is what I've always done. I go on Psychology Today, I put in my zip code and I put in my insurance, and I look for the nicest old lady I could possibly find. I look for somebody that specializes in certain areas that I'm interested in. I look for someone that takes my insurance in network, because a lot of them will say that they take your insurance, but it's really out of network. And I do some calls. So I did some of these calls. I was on an Amtrak from Philadelphia back to New York City, and I was, just hanging on for dear life, really. And I was getting some of these calls done, and I ended up getting in touch with this man. I was really focused on finding somebody who specialized in trauma therapy because I felt like maybe the reason that I'm getting so sick is because this relationship that I'm in is like deeply triggering some relationship type wounds that I've had in the past and haven't really coped with. And I guess maybe I'll get into that later if I'm feeling like it. But I was looking for someone to help me with trauma therapy. I wasn't even really looking for EMDR. Maybe I was. I can't remember. But anyway, I got in contact with this man, and he is in Massachusetts, and he does this like intensive outpatient, I don't know, it's like 8 days in the middle of Massachusetts trauma therapy, where you're literally going through the entire timeline of your life and doing trauma work. And that to me sounded amazing. I was like, oh my God, I can get fixed in 8 days. Like, sign me up. But it was really, really expensive. Oh, sorry. It's so annoying when people text me. Like, I really feel like texting is like the least consensual form of communication ever. It's so annoying. Don't stop texting me though, because I'll feel lonely. So yeah, I really wanted to do it, but he's like, oh yeah, it's 8 grand. I'm like, okay, Paige, use your brain. Like, I can't be doing that. So I told him on the phone, I was like, oh fuck, like that's really not affordable for me. He said, okay, well, why don't you do this? Go online to emdria.org. I guess I was looking for EMDR because he told me to do this. He said, go online to Emdria, EMDRIA.org. That stands for EMDR International Association.org. Put in your insurance and, look for someone that takes your insurance, and you'll find somebody and it'll be more accessible for you. And so I thanked him and I did that, and I reached out to a couple of people. And by the time I had gotten to the station at Philadelphia to transfer to the city, I had gotten a call back from an EMDR therapist who took my insurance, and totally like not what I was looking for. I still see him today. He
was not what I was looking for. I've had my experience with male therapists before, and they've never been radically positive. So, but I was just really, really desperate. I booked the session with him. I told him that I felt like a pimple that needed to be popped, and there was just a lot of stuff inside me that just really, really needed to come out. And what felt different about this time trying to go through the EMDR process was I was really, really ready. Like when I said that I felt like a pimple that needed to be popped, it was like one of those kinds of pimples that you did not even need to squeeze. Like I was bursting at the seams with pain and trauma and sadness. And so I was just really, really ready. And so I began embarking on my EMDR journey. So to go back a little bit, just to talk about what exactly EMDR is. Also, that idiot therapist that I had told me, she was like, maybe you should look into EDMR therapy. EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitization Rapidization. Here I am like shitting on that woman. I'm pretty sure that's what it stands for. But is rapidization a word? Let me just look this up really quick. Oh, okay. So EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. It is a form of interventional somatic therapy. So it's really good for people that, one, have trauma, but two, I've continued doing it now for 2 years because it's really great for people that are highly ruminative or people that are very cerebral and exist a lot in their heads, because it's a form of somatic therapy. So it helps you sort of get out of your head and into your body. And it was developed after the person who developed it, I don't even remember their name, they're a therapist, and they were like experiencing some negative emotions, and they were walking through a park, and they started bilaterally stimulating their eyes, which meant like, scanning the environment from left to right. And they realized that after they'd done that, they felt a decrease in their symptoms. So, okay, that sounds really trivial, and it sounds like how is a whole entire field of therapy developed after this. But today, EMDR is one of the leading therapies for veterans, people processing post-traumatic stress disorder, and it doesn't even have to just apply to big T traumas. It can apply to little T traumas as well. So it's just one of the four, it's one of the leading trauma therapies. And what it does is the whole eye movement thing is one way that we can bilaterally stimulate our brains, which means that we are activating both hemispheres of the brain at once. And when we're doing that, we're also thinking about a distressing memory. So we're bringing it out of long-term memory and into short-term memory, because we're activating a memory. We're thinking about something that once happened that was really traumatic for us. And when memories are in long-term memory, they are no longer malleable. So we can't change a memory that's stored long-term, but we can change a memory when we bring it into short-term memory. So the combination of recalling something from the past, bringing it into short-term memory and holding it there through conscious effort, and bilaterally stimulating the brain helps us to reframe a former negative experience in the present in a more grounded way, right? We're grounded because we're activating both sides of the brain, we're in the body, and we're, you know, productively working on a traumatic memory in a safe space with a licensed practitioner. So you can do eye movement. So a lot of times, I mean, for me, one of the things that I do in my EMDR is there's a light bar. It's really skinny and it's horizontal, and there's a light that
tracks back and forth. And so your eyes follow the light and your eyes are basically scanning from left to right over and over. You can also bilaterally stimulate through sound. So in my practice, I also wear a set of headphones, and as my eyes are scanning to the right, I hear a beep on the right ear. And then as my eyes go to the left, I hear a synchronous beep in the left ear. And then you can also stimulate through touch. So I hold buzzers in my hand, and as I hear the beep in my right ear and I see the light on the right side of my visuals, and I feel a buzz in a little buzzer in my right hand, and it goes left and right, left and right, left and right. And there's a whole host of ways to do EMDR, but what I really like about the person that I do it with is we're stimulating the brain bilaterally in three different ways at once. And that's basically how EMDR works. So you set a target memory, or a target thing that you want to work on. Maybe your thing is, well, I guess I'll just talk about my thing. The thing that I really, really needed to talk about when I first came in was my big R, my big sexual assault, which happened to me when I was in high school. And so we came up with a statement that accurately portrayed the way that I felt about that experience today. And I can't remember what the statement was, but you rank it between 1 and 10 about how distressing it is today. And then you come up with a positive statement about how you want to feel about this experience, and you rank that 1 to 7. And so you're always measuring the progress that you're making through these, you know, scales that you're rating these statements on. And I honestly forget why I just brought that up. But oh, okay. So you're working on one target experience, and you go into session. And I think empirically they've decided that an effective EMDR session is between like 30 and 40 minutes. I think it's like 37 minutes or something of EMDR is where it's effective, but it's not too much because it can be triggering. And so you're basically bringing up the memory and then just seeing what comes up, and you're looking and you're listening and you're feeling and you're seeing what comes up. And then the therapist asks you, each like round of EMDR is maybe like 90 seconds or something where you're being stimulated with the sound or the touch or the sight. And then you pause and the therapist says what came up for you. And then you talk about like what you were thinking about during those 90 seconds. And then they say, okay, cool, let's go with that. And then you start another round and you think about whatever comes up then. And then your therapist says, okay, cool, let's go with that. And so that goes on and on for maybe like between 30 and 40 minutes. And different topics in EMDR obviously will take different amounts of time to work through. I have, in my 2 years, I think I've covered like 5 really big things. I covered a few romantic relationships. I covered some familial relationships. Like I said, I've covered big T traumas, and I've also covered more like consistently complex traumas. And it's been really, really great for me. I feel like, particularly as an addict and somebody that is chronically frozen in the past, like that's one way that I would describe addiction, but I guess that's also a way that I would describe trauma. I really need help like working through things because I get tangled up. And if I could give you a visual on how I understand trauma today after going through EMDR, it's kind of like a ball of yarn, and you're pulling at the string and it gets really tangled up and you don't understand where the thread is going, and there's knots forming and things are twisting and turning. And with trauma and EMDR, I really felt like I was untangling a ball of yarn. So when it came to my sexual assault, like I didn't even know what I felt. The trauma just had me stunned. You know, it had me stunned and frozen and like stupefied. Is that what they call it in Harry Potter when they're like the person becomes frozen? I was really stupefied by certain things that had happened, and I didn't even know the beliefs that I felt. I didn't know that I felt like I couldn't be sad about my sexual assault because it happened when I was blacked out. Which is crazy, because the fact that it happened when I was blacked out is so obviously sexual assault. Anyway, I still get angry about it. And that's one thing that I'll say too is like, there's no amount of EMDR or any kind of therapy in general that can make a sad thing not sad or a wrong thing not wrong. But I think what it has helped me do is to stop blaming myself for things and stop feeling shame about certain things, and to just honestly think about things less. I did EMDR on a relationship that I had literally 10 years ago, and I thought about it a lot still because it was really like just disappointing. The way that the relationship went was really disappointing, and I felt like potentially this person was like not the one that got away, but like the one that I would never get over. And I did EMDR on that person for, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 months, and I like barely think about them now. I used to dream about them all the time. I have not dreamed about that person in a really long time because I just like brushed the yarn out. I understood where I was getting tangled up, where I had beliefs that really made no sense, where I had beliefs that were keeping me stuck, and where I had just like feelings that I couldn't process because the beliefs kept me distanced from them. And where my defense mechanisms kept me from feeling feelings that I needed to feel or having certain beliefs that I needed to hold for myself. And, you know, another reason why I think maybe EMDR didn't work for me in the past that I want to go over is there's a lot of people who, a lot of therapists who can do EMDR. Right? Like you could take what, like a 25-hour training and say that you're certified in EMDR. I don't actually know what it is, but there is a difference between being trained in EMDR and being certified in EMDR. And on the Emdria website that I discussed earlier, you're able to see who's trained, who's certified. My therapist, thankfully, is certified, and he also teaches, he certifies other people. So when I did it in the past with my other therapists, Jennifer and Rivka, it was in the context of talk therapy. Like the majority of our sessions would be talk therapy, and then I would get really triggered and we would do like a couple rounds of EMDR. But with my current therapist, we're really like not talking. He really does not therapize me because in EMDR, the therapist like barely talks. They don't tell you what to, where to go. They really just like, really all they say is what came up for you that time. And then they say, let's go with that. When you're in between sessions and they say what came up for you, we're not discussing really what came up. Like we're not therapizing about what was revealed in that session. You're literally just telling them what's up. And then they're saying, cool, let's move forward. So with my current therapist, like we're not doing talk therapy. We're doing EMDR the entire time. And that's really all he does. So I feel like the focus and the consistency and the narrow-mindedness of the therapy has been really effective for me because it feels like we're doing something standardized and we're doing something research-based. And I did get things out of talk therapy when I used to do it, but I could not go there. Like I just could not go there. I tried to do EMDR on my sexual assault with both of those former therapists, and I just could not go there. I did not cry about that experience, the big R, since it happened. So it had been really almost like 10 years since I cried about it. And I think when it happened, I cried maybe once. So I just couldn't go there. And I was at a place in my life where I was ready to go there. And I've had friends who have tried EMDR and or I guess just tried therapy in general, and they're like, I can't get there. Like, there's things that I want to talk about. There's things in my life that I know have really fucked me up, and I can't feel anything about them, and I can't, like, access it in therapy. And what I have to say about that is be really open-minded to where the origin of your problem starts. Like, I think about my traumas as, like, a beach ball, and I might have to try a couple different entry points into the experience before I can really get in there. So I might, you know, think that I need to start talking about it by saying, like, telling the story. I might think that I'm going to access it by, you know, talking about how it came up in a dream for me recently. But when I opened up about my sexual assault, the very first thing that came up for me in the EMDR was, I feel really awkward and I feel really embarrassed about doing this. And it led to a discussion about how I'm embarrassed that I have to sit here 10 years later in a session with a man that I don't even know, who doesn't understand me, and talk about this thing. And that led to me talking about how I don't feel understood. And that led to me talking about how I feel like no one really knows what I went through, and people misconstrue like what happened between me and that person, something like that. So that was not how I thought that that discussion would start, but it really started because I was talking about like how uncomfortable the therapy itself was. So my advice is to just try to really be open-minded about like where you think you'll be able to access the beginning of a discussion about a trauma, because you really don't know. And when I feel stuck in EMDR and I'm in a session and I'm trying to work through something I know has really fucked me up, I'll talk about like, I feel stuck right now. I'm scared that I'm never going to be able to access this. I'm scared that my feelings are so deep that like I'm going to go my whole life and I won't be able to ever have cried about this once. I think when it comes to trauma therapy, we can be so hopeful and so narrow-minded about how this process needs to look that it's difficult to be open to the fact that it can take a really long time, and that there might be certain traumas that you talk about that you don't cry about, and that crying and hyperventilating and all of those things is not necessarily an indication that you have effectively felt your feelings about something. And that brings up another point that I want to talk about too, is I think people are really afraid of doing EMDR because they're afraid of something being really painful. And, you know, maybe they're afraid of being re-traumatized, and that's totally, totally valid. And I think I was afraid of that too. Like, I was afraid that I would just absolutely unravel when I talked about my sexual assault, and that like I was not going to be able to function. And the best way that I can describe this process is, if you've ever done breath work, like the way that I would describe a breath work ceremony is, I always cry in breath work. And the very first time I did breath work, I guess the first time I did breath work, I tried to talk about I tried to process my sexual assault, and I cried a lot. But it wasn't a painful cry, you know, like it was kind of the difference between pain and suffering. It was, I guess it was a painful cry, but it wasn't a suffering cry. Like the hooks in my heart did not extend and catch on the things that I was feeling. So I didn't have aches in my chest when I was in breathwork, and this is how I feel in EMDR. I don't have hooks that come out of my chest and hook onto the thing that I'm feeling and cause feelings of pulling or aching or heaviness. It's literally pure release. So really sad things happen, but it's not agonizing. And after the session, things might come up for me. I try to journal after an EMDR session, really just bullet points, and like just recount what came up for me. And after a session, I might feel sad and things might come up, and I might, you know, feel really raw and scared or angry or whatever's come up for me until the next session. But it's, for me, hasn't been something that's been unmanageable. And if it's felt unmanageable, thankfully I can reach out to my therapist and schedule another session. That's something that I really appreciate. And when I was in the thick of my sexual assault work, I was going twice a week, because it just felt like I needed to take advantage of the freshness of these feelings, and I needed to chase them so that I wasn't spending another 10 years with unresolved feelings about this. So I was going twice a week then. But even so, it wasn't like, it just wasn't an incredibly agonizing process. It was relieving. It was relieving to cry. It was relieving to know that the pain that I was feeling was productive, and that it was doing something, and that I was exercising a demon inside of me. And wait, guys, I'm laughing. I'm like thinking about me filming this or recording this right now, because I have a big, thick sweatshirt over my head just to help with some of like the sound so you can picture what's happening right now. But there was one time in a session where the tears would not stop. I don't know if I've ever released that much in my life. And the reason I like my current practitioner is he has different techniques. He has different compartmentalization techniques. And I like never, ever, ever thought that any of those things would work. You know, like a visualization of like visualize yourself in your peaceful place. I'm like, dude, I don't have a peaceful place. But we were doing a session and it was really, really, really intense. And he had me pause and we did this visualization exercise where I was on a train. I think I was feeling just really like I was on the precipice of letting something big go. And he had me visualize that I was on a train and that I'm coming on the train with these huge bags of luggage and they're stuffed to the brim. And I get to my seat and I put my luggage up in the luggage rack and I sit down. The train starts moving and it's going really fast. I'm looking out the window and the conductor comes and says, you need to come with me. And I have to grab my bags and we're walking through the train, cart after cart. We're walking to the back of the train and we get out to the back of the train and I can see the land receding in front of me as we're moving through the mountains. And I can see I'm getting further and further away from initially where we started, and I can feel the wind in my hair and I can hear it and I can see his scarf blowing in the wind. And I have these suitcases and he takes one from me and he is holding it and he lets it go and it's flying through the air and it opens up and I see that it was filled with literal like silk scarves, like, and they're all just flying all over the way and they're emptying out and it's getting further and further away. And he tells me to let go of the other suitcase. So I lift it up in the air and I'm feeling the train and it's moving so fast and I feel the wind in my hair and I let go of the suitcase and everything flies out of it and I'm left with no suitcases. And I look and the conductor is not there anymore. Oh my God, I'm like crying. And like the release that I felt when I did that exercise, like that was 2 years ago and I still feel emotional about it. That was like something that I at one point thought was like so corny, you know, and like if a therapist told me to do something like that, I would have just thought like, okay, I'll do it for the sake of saying that I've done it for the therapist. But I wouldn't have done it because I wouldn't have done it for myself. And I don't know, like I just will never forget that. And I really felt after that like I could let something go and like I could let go of these suitcases and this pain and this self-blame and this shame that I'd been carrying around for so long. I could let it go. And that's just been my experience with EMDR. And I think, you know, like I said at the beginning, there's no amount of therapy that can make a sad thing not sad. But there is a way to like let go of things and there's a way to move forward and there's a way to have new perspectives that I never, ever, ever thought that I would ever have. Perspectives on myself and things that I'm able to now share with other people because I learned them in EMDR. So this episode's getting emo and I feel like I covered everything that I wanted to cover in it. If you're afraid of EMDR, that's totally valid, but I think a lot of people are simultaneously afraid and intrigued. So I would say just try it. And if you try it and it doesn't work for you, it's not because it doesn't work. You just might not be at the place where you're ready to do that. And that's okay. You know, like we can only really do trauma work when the trauma says it's safe to come out. So I'll put the link for EMDR in the bio for this episode. And if you have any questions about EMDR, you can totally feel free to reach out to me. I love talking about it. I like literally want to do my PhD on it. So yeah, thanks for listening, and I hope this was interesting. Thank you.